TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Hockey, yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And just like that, we begin Judd's Hockey Show, a show that after two periods tonight, the Minnesota Wild and St. Louis Blues were tied at two apiece, and I thought we might come on and talk about a Wild one-goal victory. I thought we might talk about Kirill Kaprizov's absolutely magnificent first period, and instead we are discussing a 5-2 loss because ultimately, unfortunately for the Wild, the best Russian on the ice in the third period was Vladimir Tarasenko, who had a hat trick, including an empty net goal. 5-2 Blues win. Decisive, potentially, game six for the Wild on Thursday in St. Louis. Judd Declan, of course, presented by our friends JHS is at Surly. And if you've got one right now, I envy you because I'm at the arena. I need one. Declan, I believe that you have one, correct?
Before I do
we start,
have one.
I'd like to see what taste, what flavor you have.
Going with my Surly Supreme.
Grapefruit Supreme.
And after I get my first vent out, I'm going to drop also an unnamed tequila in the Supreme.
Because
apparently our guy David, our friend at Surly Brewing, recommended to drop in some tequila into the Surly Supreme. And I promise a live taste test no matter win or lose. And boy, after the loss, I'm going to need it. So I'll get the end of that in just a little bit. But my God, Judd.
So quickly, that is just deflating. I mean, this is just deflating. This is so
–
it really does. I mean, O'Reilly scored the first goal, power play. Wild comes back and scores not one but two power plays. And Kirill Kaprizov in the first period is magnificent. So it's 2-1. Blues come back and tie it on a Brandon Saad tipping goal. And so, okay, it's 2-2. It's going to be a close game. That's fine. And then Tarasenko scores two goals in the third period, the first of which he was not picked up. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Foligno, Hartman, and Greenway were on the ice. The defensive pairing was Spurgeon and Middleton. Spurgeon, by the way, also on the ice for the side goal with Brodin at the time. But Tarasenko not picked up. And then the fourth goal was, it's a tough save, but Fleury saw the puck, and he didn't stop it. And so that's that. Incredibly disappointing. But, Dex, I think what we should do, because it, of course, is getting late, I think we should turn this to the people that are going to join us and allow them to vent, because, like, this is a vent line night. I think this is the definition of a vent line night.
Yeah, this is a safe space, by the way, as I pour my Surly.
Yeah.
Surly beverage here for the camera.
Look,
if you'd like
that
to get in
good.
On this, this is a Surly Supreme. Mm-hmm. I can't promise you I can hand you a Surly Supreme, but if you have a Surly near you, highly recommend it. And if you'd like to join the stream to talk about this game with us, it's scrolling at the cross or across the bottom of your screen right now. It's Vikings Vent Line, for the lack of better words, at gmail.com. VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. If you have thoughts on this game, we would love to hear from you guys. Safe space for us to do it. And as Dave promised here, I poured my Surly Supreme. I'm going to drop in the little magical elixir of this tequila here, Judd Zolgad.
Drum roll, please.
Right.
We'll get a review here shortly, and then we'll start to hear
mix
your
mix in
rants.
This a little bit. Yeah, already got some people filling in the room.
And by the way,
I
do expect you folks to be pissed off, because you should
be pissed off, because I'm pretty pissed right now. I might seem tame because I'm trying to focus on pouring this beer, but I'm pretty pissed off after this. So here's a first little sip. One sip, everyone knows the rules.
Thanks, Portnoy.
Oh, wow. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm breaking it. Two sips.
It's scoring.
Dave was right.
Do whatever you want.
Dave was right. Wow.
Dave's
That's phenomenal.
Right. Dave's
That's phenomenal.
Right. Dave is
that is great.
Master.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you to Surly Brewing for powering how pissed off and making me a little bit more tame in the short term right now. If you'd like to join Wild Ventline, it's VikingsVentline@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. Glad to get you on the screen. We got some people in queue already, so we'll gladly pop you guys on here in just a second to talk about this one. Wild go down 3-2 in the best of seven series. Judd, let's waste no more time. We got one guy in queue. Let's go to Drew. Drew, what's
hey,
up,
Drew.
Man?
What's up?
Hey guys, how you doing right now?
Not too happy about that.
No, not too great.
Two periods.
Judd, I gotta ask.
Yeah,
I'm 18 years old, and I cannot believe what I'm watching. I don't know how you've done this for your entire life. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it sucks. Drew, I have seen two World Series championships. So, like, I did see those. You clearly were not born for either one, and not even close. But hockey-wise, this is sort of the story of my life, and it absolutely stinks. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. As sports dad, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, it gets better, it gets easier. It's actually tougher. Because as I thought tonight, watching this game in the third period, a meltdown, I thought, you know what, Judd? You're closer to death than ever. And there's a chance you're never going to see the chalice paraded around the ice in this godforsaken state. And that's just not right. So I'm not going to lie to you. It stinks.
Yeah. I guess my two takeaways, I'm going to stay here. I mean, first of all, I think we're dead. I don't think there's any coming back from this. But
I think you're right.
In my life, I think it's this Wild team or the 2017 Vikings are the best teams I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And they still, like, they can't get it done. They just, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm already losing hope. And, like, I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think Kirill Kaprizov is the Luka Doncic of the NHL.
I like that. That's a great, because, I like that. That's
like
good.
His first few years in Dallas, he was basically stranded. And it took him years to get out of the first round there. And right now it's looking like that here too. So
hey, I mean, wait. I'm going to say off your point too. Because when I did TikToks tonight between periods, I got questions about Hartman. Like, Ryan Hartman should do more. To your point, I don't think he's capable. Like, I don't think, I was pleasantly surprised with how he played in the regular season with Mats and Kirill, right? But, like, we watch these games, and I don't think, I look at Fiala, and I say, he could do more. He's scuffling, but he could do more. I don't think Ryan Hartman can. And so I think your Doncic comparison is pretty accurate. I think that Kirill is on a line with a guy that he's been on a line with at center all season long. But I don't think that that guy is now capable of, like, exploding. I think Ryan Hartman has done as much as he possibly can. And this goes back to why we talked about for how long that line needs a real number one center, right? Like a real one, not like, oh, this guy's a nice player. So I think your comp there is probably spot on.
It's really
but
good, dude.
It's hard to watch, man. I mean, it's so hard because you have these beliefs and hopes. And, I mean, I'm 52, you're 18, but we're thinking along the same lines of, okay, this could be something special. And we get this. It's very disappointing.
All right.
Sorry, man. I wish I could make it better. I wish I could make it better.
Yeah.
That or change teams or states.
God, that's a great Kirill as the Luka Doncic. I actually love that.
They even sort of look alike in some ways.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't be surprised the Hockey Whisperer maybe steals a take from that tomorrow on Mackey and Judd. I wouldn't be shocked.
Did I cut out?
Nope. You got me still? Judd Zoget?
Yep, I got you. Did I cut out or did you cut out?
Might have been me.
Okay, I think it was you for a second because I'm plugged in here. That's all I'm going to say. I'm plugged in. I got juice.
Let's keep it rolling here then on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to Christian. What's up, Christian?
How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Not good.
Not good, actually. I don't know why I said
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Minnesota sports sucks. But, hey, I'm going to be the one optimistic person. There was no handshakes after that game. There's still two games left. We got this. I think we're going to pull through. I mean, Judd, you've been saying all along, this is the cup, right? It's about winning. We got one game left, two games left. If we win the next one, I think we got this. It's about winning, and if we really want to win the cup, then we'll win the next two. That's all I got to say.
All right, man.
Christian,
I appreciate
the optimism. Christian, right, you know what? I appreciate the optimism. There's still two games left, but man,
okay,
what a sour.
So here's my problem. Just quickly, here's my problem.
Because
I do want to 1,000% get back to the callers and stuff. My problem is this. I feel like I just watched this with the Wolves.
Yeah.
Do you know what an opportunity the good Lord presented you in game four? The Blues were down four defensemen. You were given a gift, the gift of a team that basically had to play two defensemen the entire game, and you didn't capitalize. And tonight, you got a Kirill special to give you a 2-1 lead, and you lose by three. I know they didn't blow double-digit leads three times like the Wolves did, but my God. When is somebody in this godforsaken state going to capitalize on what the good Lord gives them sports-wise?
You know, it's tough for me to compare it to the Wolves. I know what you're saying. I completely know what you're saying. And to your point of them being banged up, the Blues, like that is a missed opportunity, because the Blues going into game four, I mean, we're playing seven forwards. Look, Scott Perunovich is a great story, local kid. Loved watching him at UMD. But for God's sakes, they had to play an extra forward because they had literally no other defenseman. And the fact you weren't able to steal that one, that stinks. And look, tonight, this makes it even worse. I get it. You're down now 3-2. You've said all along, it wouldn't shock you if this Wild team lost the Blues, but it would certainly be disappointing. Mm-hmm. And the way this has unraveled in games 5 and 6, Judd, been extremely disappointing. Extremely disappointing. We'll keep it moving here on Wild Bent Line. Let's go to Cam. Cam, what's
hey,
up,
man.
Bud?
You got me? You
yep, got you. Okay.
Just wallowing in my Minnesota sports self-pity right now. Just got to say, completely justified after this game. You could feel the air come out of that building. As soon as that third period started, Tarasenko gets those two quick goals, and you could feel the anxiety, and it's totally justified. Two quick points here, though. Effort, period three, just terrible. You know, Tarasenko gets those goals, and it felt like we had no fight back. We had nothing, you know. Kaprizov's out there doing his best, trying to be a one-man show, but you can't carry it all the time. Second point here.
You're right.
Goligoski and Merrill. One of them has got to be gone. I need Kulikov back. Goose is old. He can't skate. He can't keep up. Kulikov's younger. He's got those legs. I can't watch him skate the puck into the middle and lose it again.
Explain this, though. Explain to me goal number, was it three, the first goal by Tarasenko of the third period? Okay, Middleton gets beat by Buchnevich, which is unfortunate, but he just flat out got beat. I mean, Jake didn't do a great job, but it happens. No. But explain this to me. In hockey, in playoff hockey, where every piece of real estate matters, like every speck of ice, how is Tarasenko flying down the slot not picked up? Because if Buchnevich centers that and Tarasenko's picked up properly, it's a centering pass.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not completed. Like, to me, that's your point about, like, the effort, or, like, you can't give that up.
That's on the wings. That's on the center, picking the guy up down the middle.
And it was Hartman, Greenway, Foligno. That's what disappointed. And Greenway's by the post when the goal scored. But, yeah, I mean, that to me, that's the type of thing where, the air came out of the building because I can't explain it, but you're playing like it's January.
It's no effort. It shows you don't want it.
Well,
I hope they pick it up in game six, because it's going to be tough to watch.
It's go time, Cam. Got to go, man.
Good stuff, Cam. Thank
appreciate
you.
Coming on.
Still
man.
Got the faith. Still got the faith.
Well, keep it. You got keep to, it. I guess.
Keep it, I mean, guess. Yeah. Hashtag keep the faith. I for right now.
All we're saying is give faith a chance.
That was rough to see. Oh, Judd, we have a packed green room right now on Wild Vent Line, so we'll not waste any more time. All right, Claire,
how are y'all? Hi.
Good. How are you?
You know, we're experiencing classic Minnesota disappointment, as I'm sure that y'all are used to. But it was tough to watch. I felt like there were a lot of opportunities squandered for sure. Coming out of that first period, feeling good. But I'm wondering what kind of goaltending changes we're going to see in the next game, if any.
Go to Cam. They could do it to, like, spark the team, I guess. But, like, and Fleury wasn't great in that third tonight, giving up the back-to-back. So I wouldn't be surprised if they finally go to Cam Talbot, Claire. But I don't know if it's going to do a whole lot. I don't know. It's their offense has been the problem.
That third period was so disappointing right now that I'm still thrown. That third period, like, they didn't get off to a good start, but they came back and Kirilled, which is so much fun to watch, Claire. And then the second period I thought was really tight, but fun, you know, good stuff. And the third, it was like they came out like, okay, now we're, and it's like, no, like, you got to pick guys up. And the Fleury thing is a good question, because I will say this, at the start of the game and in the third, he looked shaky to me again. But they've been so reliant and so dedicated to him. I don't know that they would change now. If that makes sense. I don't know. I don't, Dean likes structure. And I mean, Dean sticks with things. So I guess I might be a little bit surprised, but I wouldn't be offended because I felt like Flower tonight, when push came to shove, was certainly not at his best.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, boys, and I enjoyed listening to you all. Wish I could have been at the X tonight. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Claire. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys coming on Wild Event Line. All right, man, we'll keep it moving here. Let's go to Cameron. Cameron, what's up, pal? How are you?
Good, man. I love your guys' show. I watch a lot of your Vikings content, but
thank you.
It's just like I can't take this anymore, man. It's like, how many times are Minnesota teams gonna disappoint until we actually live up to our expectations, you know? Like the 98 Vikings, 09 Vikings, 17 Vikings, the 19 Twins. Right. And now we got the 21 Wild. And it just, I know it's only 3-2. I know they're still in this thing, but it just felt like the kill shot tonight, you know? It felt like the kill shot. Like, I know these Minnesota fans deserve it. Like, we love these teams so much. And it just, Judd, I mean, you're twice as old as I am.
Yeah,
I can't
believe it.
I can't believe how you've held through it all these years, man. Like, just year after year after year of disappointment. And it's just like, I can't take it anymore, man.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. I hear you, man. I hear you. And I don't know what to say because you know what? It's not like this is the finals. This is the first round. This is the first round. And you have your best team ever. You have your best team ever. And look, the Blues are good. They won a cup in 19. Different team, but they won a cup. I get all that.
Yeah.
But it feels like the last six periods of hockey are just a kick in the shins.
Yeah.
And that's so disappointing.
Yeah, and we got Kaprizov. It's like we finally got a dude. We got the dude. He got 108 points this year.
He's unbelievable.
Like, we've got the guy. We've got the Flower. It seems like we got the tough guys, we got the skill guys, we got the goalies.
Yes.
We've got it all, man. And it's like, here we go again.
The biggest thing from my end is there were Wild teams in the past that made the playoffs that I absolutely personally despised. I didn't like them. I didn't like their character. They made me want to puke, okay? Mm-hmm. This team I really like. Like, this team, and that's my problem, is like, I'm watching this, and look, I mean, yes, it's tough. It's the playoffs. It's tough to win. But when you allow Tarasenko to walk down the slot and, like, give him a basket of fruit, you know what he's going to do? Score. Everything you said, yes, 1,000 times, it's incredibly disappointing.
Thanks, Cam. Appreciate
it, man. Sorry, Cam. I'd love to stick with it.
It stinks. It hurts. Just like love,
breaking
man.
Breaking up a little bit again.
All right. I'll try my best here. Your internet's not doing the best at old Cassidy Declan's. Let's try.
What's going on with your internet, huh? There we go.
Let's try Luca. Luca, what's up?
How are we doing?
Hey, Luca.
Hey, man, that was probably the worst, just the biggest letdown in the third period I think I've ever seen. It was just like a stab to the heart, and it was terrible. The 2 points I have are, the first one, from a game perspective, like this game specifically, was hit the net. There was a lot of shots, you know, and I get shots get tipped, but it just seemed like a lot of shots were getting, you know, flown into the crowd or, you know, way over into the net or the safety net or just right over the glass. And it's like you cannot get chances if you're not hitting the net. And obviously we had plenty of chances in the game and it's a matter of capitalizing, but at the same time, if you're not hitting the net, nothing is going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing I thought. And another thing, which is like, you know, the whole backs against the wall elimination game thing is, it is really hard to put faith in this team on Thursday because of the history. You know, 17-18, we lost to the Jets. Last year we lost to the Knights in game 7. And it's just like, it's just kind of at this point for me, it's really just expecting, okay, how badly are we going to lose in this elimination game? Because when you don't make it to the second round since 2015, you know, how can you blame the fans, you know? Because if you make the playoffs and you lose in the first round, so what? You're no better than the team that just missed by a little bit because at the end of the year, you didn't win the cup. So That's how I'm feeling right now. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. And continue to have a great rest of your night. Thank you.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Luca.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, it kind of feels like with this Wild team, Judd, it reminds me a lot of those San Jose Sharks teams, you know, before they made their cup like 5-6 years ago, where like at least this one did, not like past Wild teams, because those Sharks teams were better than the Wild teams that got bounced in the first round. But those Sharks teams that were really good in the regular season, had talent up and down, just always seemed to get bounced early in the playoffs. And it just stinks that this team can't figure it out this time after all the moves and everything that they've been able to do.
Yeah, it's a completely different team. And so that's why, like, and this team has a ton of character. This team has good players. I think what's so disheartening, though, is that they played on Friday night in Game 3 in St. Louis. They played such a good road playoff game. I mean, that was so impressive. And, like, that sort of set a bar of, okay, this is, you know, this is really on point. And, you know, the next two games, games 4 and 5, they just absolutely took opportunities that were goal. I mean, they would have been tough wins, but that's the whole point of playing in the playoffs. Right. And they lost both games. I think that's what's just so disheartening about. I mean, they're not done, but tonight in the last two games, it feels like there isn't the ability to get over the top again. I mean, how many times do we have to talk about that? I can't get over the top.
Right. Ellis,
what's up, guys?
Are you okay, man?
No, man. I'm
no, it shouldn't be.
Great, but it's not working. No, nothing's gonna work for me. But I deal with mental health issues. I have Minnesota sports syndrome, and it's running through my veins up and down. Can't seem to get away from it. But who's gonna replace Ryan Hartman as like an actual elite center alongside Kirill Kaprizov, so he doesn't request a trade in like 2 or 3 years? And yeah, that's kind of the only thing I have to bring to the table. I'm probably gonna crash here so I can cry myself.
Get some sleep, Ellis.
Sleep well, Ellis.
Sleep well.
Sleep
well. Get your head on it.
Look, sweet dreams.
I know
about this.
A lot of people are probably gonna look at Ryan Hartman and say, "Hey, dude, what are you talking about? 34 goals, right? Career season," and he did. No one's going to take that away from him. Career season, he really blossomed. He went from someone who flamed out as a first-round pick from a fourth-line grinder guy, rose back up through the ashes and had an amazing season, was a bargain for his salary. He's had a good year. But, you know, playoffs change things. And Ryan Hartman has not had a good postseason. And you're seeing why, like, what he was able to do in the regular season, and that's a great success story, doesn't translate to postseason success. And this is where it matters, man. Like, if you want to be the top line center, and look, he gets a great benefactory of playing with Kirill Kaprizov and also Matt Zuccarello, who's a phenomenal playmaker, but he's got to deliver in the postseason. And you're kind of seeing the Ryan Hartman that is more of his career, which is a nice role player and a nice player here and there, but not a bright lights player. And he's got to be that guy. And he isn't.
Yeah. But Declan, my point continues to be this, which you're right, but he does. I don't think there's more to give. Like Fiala, there was more there. Like it's disappointing, and there's more there, and there's no question in my mind. I think Ryan Hartman, because the playoffs, to your point, are a different thing. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan Hartman has hit his ceiling, and he's bouncing up against it game after game after game after game now. And, like, I don't think we're going to look at, oh, my God, he scored 2 goals and had 2 assists. I don't think he's capable. I mean, playoff hockey is so much different than regular season hockey. And this is so difficult that I think what we are finding out was our worst fears about the Wild's pivot position has been confirmed. Unfortunately, it's been confirmed in the playoffs, which is Ek fits his role perfectly. And, okay, here's the problem. Hartman is not a top-line center, and God bless him, the Goudreau line's has done nothing special. Nothing.
No. I mean,
and that's
Adam,
Fiala and
Adam
Boldy.
On our YouTube section right here, like, thoughts on shaking up the lines. I think, well, now the season's against the line, so you probably have to. Like, you probably have to.
Yeah, but I mean, this comes back to our conversation going back to training camp, which is, I don't think it matters because I don't think you've got lines that you can put in the playoffs centers at that are going to change a thing, because you're not going to take Ek off the grief line, I don't think. And beyond that, Hartman and Goudreau in this time of year are guys. They're probably third line guys. So, like, what are you going to do? Move Goudreau to the top line? that doesn't fix a thing for me, right?
And look, Marco Rossi, even if he was healthy, because I believe he got hurt towards the end of the season, like that doesn't change anything right now.
No,
doesn't change. He might help. He might make the Wild better next year, which is great.
Oh, next year, yes.
Right now, he wouldn't have.
But keep in mind, too, we are being one lesson that Evason and Guerin are teaching us right now, and you, me, the fan base all said, why is Boldy not playing against the Knights?
Yeah.
Last spring, right? Like, why is Matthew Boldy? We're learning exactly why. Mm-hmm. We're learning exactly why. The playoffs are different. The problem is by not getting a center that they could have plugged in here, I don't think they have one. I just don't think they – and you're right. Like, to have thrown Rossi in and Marchman, like, let's see what you can do. You get to the playoffs, he's going to get shut down too right now. Maybe not in the future, but right now.
Let's go to Patrick. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Patrick.
Oh, man, what a game.
I know.
At ESPN, they were pointing out the difference between Fleury and Bennington, where Bennington was actually leaving the net and chasing the puck down while Fleury – would just stay in the puck and create more opportunities for the Blues.
Yes.
You know, I think it's time for a change. I kind of disagree with you, Judd. I think that putting Cam in will shock or should shock the team. And I mean, it's worked for the Blues when they swapped out goaltenders. So
yeah,
what do you have to lose? I mean,
you might be right. Yeah.
You got to do something.
Yeah. I guess my point was, I just don't know if Dean is going to do that, but yeah, you know what, if they do, that's fine. The problem with Fleury is when he tries to play the puck, from what I've seen, it's not good. So the problem is they just don't have – he's not that guy. Bennington, though, looked shaky at times, and I thought that they could have exploited that far more and unfortunately beyond the first period failed to. I would have driven to the net a lot more and created contact.
Oh, yeah.
Because – the thing is, I think when Bennington's playing like he did tonight and they go down 2-1, he is, as Dex and I have talked about a lot, subject to be rattled. And I would have done everything I could to do exactly that, and it felt like they came up short there. But
I ask, why would you want to stay with Fleury since he's rolled with Cam almost all season? Or not all season, but
yeah.
I mean, Cam was hot towards the end of the season, so
I have no problem with that. Yeah. Like,
Patrick, I just don't think they'll do it. I think they will. I disagree with Judd. I think at this point with their backs against the wall, I think they will. Cool. And look, that might work. Yeah, that might be able to work. So I agree with you. I think they will go to
work. Worth a shot. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
See ya. Thank you. Good stuff, Patrick.
Right. Keep it moving. Wild vent line right now. Let's I think he's outside. Justin, are you there? You the Grim Reaper, are you okay?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. Okay.
Dark out there.
Yeah, I'm actually in a dark room in my apartment here, just wallowing in my sorrows of Minnesota sports fandom.
What you got to do?
So just living it up right here. But just a couple thoughts here. First, responding to, you know, shaking up the lines. Who would you put at center?
Dex froze too.
Oh, are we frozen?
No, nope, you're good. You're, you're fine.
I think, you know, someone commented about Jost. He's been playing well. At times, he showed some promise. He can play skillful on the puck and has some heart. Maybe throw him on the first line instead of Hartman, because Hartman has played questionably as of late. So that could be something, potentially. And then I also want to point out, I think they need to go back for the playoffs to the 1-8, you know, seeding that way. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Avalanche, Wild, Flames, Blues, and the standings in the West. I don't think it's fair.
Avalanche, yeah. Wild.
I
see what you're saying. Yes.
Blues and Wild they're playing is, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have been, if they had gone to the seeding system you're talking about, I think it would have been Kings Wild, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Not to make an excuse, but I'm going to hope that they can pull it out here. But we'll see. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Yep. Appreciate it, Justin.
Yeah. Go ahead, Judd. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, just taking a glance at the stat sheet here, Jarrett Spurgeon tonight, -3.
Yeah, he was rough. Him and Middleton was brutal tonight, especially on the third.
Yes,
goal?
On the Tarasenko goal. But yes. I still awful. Object to the fact that nobody picked Tarasenko up.
Yeah,
that was not. I mean, he's got to be picked up because the Buchnevich pass is then a pass that goes into the middle of the ice. I mean, that puck was right on Tarasenko's stick, and nobody picked. You got to have that guy.
Right.
You got to have him. Middleton on that play was flat out beaten. which is unfortunate. You don't like that. But, I mean, it wasn't that he wasn't trying. He was flat-out beaten. But somebody – I mean, come on. It's Tarasenko. You got to at least have him. Give yourself a chance. They didn't give themselves a chance.
Still a packed agreement right now on Wild Mountain Line. We have almost 1,000 people watching us. This is the first time you're watching Judd's Hockey Show. That's Judd Zolgad. I'm Declan Goff. Thank you. Hit the subscribe button right here on Score North for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. This is a safe space. This is Vent Line. We also do Vikings Vent Line, of course, on Purple Daily and once a week with myself and Vikings fans. But this is a safe zone. We still talk Wild. We'll still talk offseason Timberwolves and Twins and plenty of other things right here on this channel. So hit the subscribe button. Run Apple, run Spotify, the Score North app as well. Packed green room. Keep it rolling here. Let's go to Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? My connection coming through okay?
You're coming through great.
Doing good. Well.
Thanks for having me on. Always love coming on. Funny thing is, I've been a diehard Vikings fan my whole life, and honestly, I've never really been a huge hockey guy, but, you know, listening to you guys every single day, you kind of made me want to follow the Wild, and so I tuned into this series, and just trying to show my support, you know, for all Minnesota sports. And I see it's really rough.
Yes, sir.
The funny thing was, though, in game four, like, I saw, like, St. Louis really controlled that entire game. And so this one, the first period, it seemed like Minnesota came out ready to, like, kind of punch them back in the mouth. And they were bodying those guys. You know, they got a lot of hits in that first period. And they were playing super rough and tough. And then it just seemed to kind of slip away. And once St. Louis was like, okay, we'll hit you back, they just kind of stopped, it seemed. It was very odd to me. I don't know. I think, you know, from what I saw, you got the Wild have the potential to win the series, but I kind of got that vibe, too. It felt like a kill shot tonight, which...
Yeah, it really did.
It
really did. And the third period was, I mean, the problem with that is the Blues came out hot. The Wild didn't look great. Then Kaprizov scored his two goals. Second period, I thought, was spectacular hockey. Like it was tight, but I loved it.
Yeah.
The third period, to me, inexcusable.
Mm-hmm. As soon as they got that first goal in the third period, it was like the wind got sucked out of that arena. Like, the crowd just looked dead, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, as like kind of like an outsider, but like a guy who loves the Vikings, it was like, I was like, oh, I've seen this before. You know, I knew exactly what was going on there. And I felt so bad for all the Wild fans. You know, I trying to show support, and I could just see it's the exact same vibe as so many Vikings games.
Unfortunately, you're 1,000% right. And that
thanks,
stinks.
Rick. Thanks hey, for thanks coming on, man. I felt that just when they hit the third goal, that it was just like you could hear a pin drop in there, just at least on the television screen. And then, of course, they get the fourth one on a weird shot from it was a howitzer, but a shot from far away from Tarasenko. And Fleury's been someone that gives up goals from far away as well. That Minnesota fear that strikes in. I mean, I was watching on the couch with a buddy of mine tonight right before Ventline started, and even he was clanking his teeth during the second intermission. The third period started, dude.
On the talk, people were sending me notes. I'm nervous. And I said, yes, that's fine. But here's the difference. The Wild is a superstar in Kaprizov. They're going to be in decent shape here. To me, through two periods, this was fun. Like, this is it's supposed to be intense. It's supposed to be edge of your seat viewing, but you're not supposed to expect what we got again. That's the thing is, it feels like a self-fulfilling prophecy because we expect the worst, but then we get it. And the team is like, oh, no, that's not going to happen tonight. I felt like Kaprizov down one rip in the first period did exactly that because he's like, screw this, I'm going to score some goals. But the third period, it's like, fans are like this, and then the team goes like this. I mean, that's what's ridiculous about it. It's up to the team to say, we got this, folks. We got this. 91 Twins, do you know what they said? We got this. 87 Twins, game six, Ken Daly facing Herbeck. Saturday afternoon ball game, Herbeck said, don't worry, I got this. That's what we need. We need reassurance. Then that will go away. Unfortunately, we never get it. Again, it's the self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. Sports Dad's telling you. The fans get nervous. The team then shows that. But it's up to the team to say, no. Tonight's a different night. Tonight I make that save. Didn't get
Keep
it.
Keep it moving. Packed room. Bennett,
what's
up,
guys,
man?
What's going on? Can you get me good?
Yep, love the collection in the background. Dude, that's at least.
Love.
I got some jerseys back there. I got about 16 or 17 Wild jerseys.
That's
back
nice.
There. Big fan.
That's seriously big fan. Nice.
That's a story for another day, though. Listen, I got a little card here. I'm going to try to make my time short because I know that we got a lot of people in the room. The refs were the difference in this game. We scored twice on the power play, and I feel like the refs saw that and just decided not to give us another one. I mean, they were flying around the ice. I think there was a point in the second period Shen left his feet to put a dirty hit on Kaprizov, completely uncalled for. And the refs just never even called it. And that leads me to my second point. The Blues got under our skin. There was a point in the third period. I saw Duhaime essentially having a wrestling match in the center of the ice, nowhere near the puck. I forgot who it was with. But I mean, at that point in the game, I was like, this is over. They're under our skin. That's the game that the Blues play.
Right.
And Cap was the only one that showed up tonight. Listen, I mean, you can make a case that Marcus Foligno showed up tonight because he was throwing around hits. He was doing Marcus Foligno things.
10 hits.
Love him. He was great. The guy. He's my favorite player on the Wild. I got all his jerseys. You can make a case he showed up, but I mean, Cap was really the only one that did it. If you're going to roll with Fleury in the net for the next two games, you have to be committed to clearing the pucks out of the slot. Fleury lets up those rebounds in the slot, and that's how the Blues are scoring on us. I mean, it's disgusting to watch. It's the dirty, greasy goals that they're getting on us. Yeah, Fleury has a couple shots over the shoulder here or there from the high point, but it's the pucks in the slot that we're not clearing out that the Blues are getting.
How's Saad standing there in front of the net with Spurgeon right there? And someone's got to move him.
I mean,
you're right.
The defense has to play better. The defense has to play better. The blue line has to be better. And I mean, Dumba and Fiala, it is... In the middle of the season, it was tough to choose between Dumba and Fiala because they were both great, and we loved them both. Right now, it's tough to choose between Dumba and Fiala because they're both laying stinkers in the playoffs.
Yeah, man. You're right.
Look me in the eyes and tell me I'm wrong about that. It's ridiculous.
It's hard.
That's awesome. God, I mean, I only got a couple more points here. Like I said, I'm going to try to make it quick. This state needs a chiropractor because everybody has scoliosis. It is ridiculous. The Vikings have broken our hearts so many times, and it has set just horrible expectations for playoff teams in this state. Listen, I was a doomer at one point in the season. You know, when I think Foligno did knee to the face against the Jets players, he got suspended. We went on a 12-game skid. I was like, this team's over. We're going to go on a skid for the rest of the year. We're going to miss the playoffs. And then they came back. They took second in the Western. Now is not the time to be a doomer. Listen, I see all you guys in the comments. I know you're trashing Fleury, you're trashing Fiala, you're trashing everybody on the team. Sell the farm, keep Foligno and keep Kaprizov. We can do that after game 6 if they lose. We can do that after game 7 if they lose, which, by the way, I do think this goes 7 games. I don't know if I can do it impromptu, write this down. The Wild play more than 60 minutes for the rest of the season. If they lose in game 6, it's going to be an overtime, or they win the game, they bring it back to Minnesota for game 7. Nice. I don't know if you guys are going to let that be or write that down, but I'm throwing that one out there.
I like it.
I mean, I think that's pretty much all the points that I had. You know, you guys can touch on them later if you want to, but
appreciate it.
That's everything that I got. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Good stuff. Wow. Thank you very much.
Call of the night from Bennett so far. I was very
that's
accurate.
Good. It was, man. The officiating was inconsistent and not good, but I don't agree. It was not the game. There were some missed calls for sure. There were probably missed calls both ways. The Shen jumping hit on Kaprizov was dirty and was a BS hit. But that being said, the Wild cost themselves this game.
Yeah.
The third period's their fault. That's
officiating,
not anyone's fault but their own.
It's not perfect in this league. It's far from perfect. And I can't put that in the pie chart of blame of why you lost the game. I just can't. You lost to yourself, and your superstar was the one that showed up. Like if I think you're having a real tunnel and you're pigeonholing yourself if you really think it was the officiating that caused this game. That was bad. Officiating's bad all over the damn league. Like
Zuccarello got pulled down by Shen right before, I believe, the first Tarasenko goal. But that being said, that does not then mandate, because you're mad about not getting that call, that Tarasenko skates right down the slot. So, yeah, it's not good. It's inconsistent. Dax, you're right. It's inconsistent throughout the entire league.
Not stopping right now, though, on Wild Event Line. Still got plenty of Wild fans. But, Judd, before I get our next guy in here, why don't you tell everyone how you've stayed skinny throughout this entire Wild season.
Yes.
You have actually managed to drop weight. How have you been able to do that?
40 pounds down, thanks to my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. And I want to tell you right now that this is the way to not only lose the weight, but keep it off. And that is the toughest thing, because we've all dropped weight before. But what is the struggle? Keeping that weight off. And my friends at Livia have helped me do that. They've helped me keep the weight off now in their maintenance program. It's fantastic. How can you do it? Very simple. Livia.com, Livea.com, inside or outside the state. So, yes, they've got their locations here in town. But guess what? If you're a Judd's Hockey Show fan, and let's say you're consuming the show right now in, I don't know, Florida, guess what? They can take care of you. They can help you lose the weight. And then, as I said, they can help you keep that weight off. Livia, Livea.com.
All right, keep it moving on Wild Vent Line. Let's go to Jay. Jay, what's up, man? Welcome to Wild Vent Line. How are you?
Hey, Jay.
Oh, you're
hey, good. How's it going? You got me okay?
Yep, got you.
Perfect.
Great. Hey, how's it going, guys? Native Minnesotan living in Chicago from Cambridge. I'm 23 years old. I've watched this stuff all my life with the Twins, Vikings, the Wild. I missed the first period because I was at work, but bottom line, this just ended up being embarrassing to watch. You know, I mean, we had a decent first period, two power play goals, all I can ask for. We got the power play goals. That's good. You know, that's what we need to work on. But honestly, in the second period, when they scored that tying goal, I felt that momentum shift from being comfortable, like, oh, okay, you know, to sort of the nervous comfortability that we are akin to being Minnesota sports fans. And then the third period, we just absolutely broke down, flat out outplayed. Honestly, the Jacob Middleton play right before the third goal, that just sums this up. Puck's rolling along the boards, going around the corner. Buchnevich right behind him makes no effort to go for the puck, you know, and then he fed it to Tarasenko, scored 3-2. And that's honestly kind of when I knew it was over. That was absolutely embarrassing to watch. Obviously, Kirill played great, you know, but one guy can't play, you know, one guy does not make a team, which is unfortunate to say, you know, and this is really the most excited I've been about a team since the 09 Vikes, honestly, for better or for worse. And God forbid we do come back and win in 7. I am absolutely terrified for whatever we would have to deal with in round 2, because what I have just been witnessing here is not it. One of the big things I noticed was, yeah, we're generating shot attempts, but they're not on goal. We're not getting down low in the slot. We're not getting in front of the net, you know, and yeah, I don't know. Like, we played more physical tonight, which is great. I enjoyed that. But if we're not getting in front of Binnington or Huso, if we're not down low in the crease, then what is the point? You know, we have the talent to come back. I don't know if we will. The only question I have for you guys, which is kind of being a dead horse, I mean, you know, Fleury played fine. I guess he generates juicy rebounds, but come on, we know this. We got to play around this. So,
right.
Do we start Talbot in game 6? You know, I pale to think of whether or not it makes a difference, but, you know, aside from shaking up lines, I'm not really sure what else can be done at this point.
Thanks, Shay.
Good stuff. My personal opinion is I don't think Dean's going to change it. If he does, I have zero problem with it in goal. As far as the line shakeups go, what are you going to shake up? I mean, are you going to promote Jost? Again, if you flip Goudreau and Hartman, okay, who cares? Like, that's not going to help you. I don't think that under any circumstance are you going to break up the grief line, and I don't think you're going to break up Zuccarello and Kaprizov, right, Dex? And like we saw when they put Fiala and Kaprizov together 5-on-5 briefly, it didn't really work. So I guess as far as the Lions go, I understand what people are saying. I just don't know. I think the only real jolt, to your point, would be Cam Talbot starting for the Flower and goal. And defensively, I mean, you're going to put Kulikov back in? I don't think they're going to. So. Yeah.
Minor changes, tweaks, for the lack of a better word. Tweaks are, I mean, what you could.
The goaltending thing would be a shakeup. I mean, Dean has – when Dean stuck with Flower after game one, I said, I don't think he's going to take him out unless he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. So, but I am not saying that they shouldn't consider it. I just don't know it's going to happen.
Keep it moving. Brandon, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you, man?
Hey, good. 100% with you on what are you going to do to juggle up lines? Doesn't make any sense. The only thing to do would be moving up Fiala, but then you're moving down Zuccarello, which helps Kaprizov immensely. That doesn't make any sense. Changing goalies, I don't really think it's been the goalie's fault. One thing I talked about tonight with my buddies was just we're not getting second chance opportunities, period, at all tonight. We were first shot team. There was no getting after the rebounds. And then secondly, obviously a power play has been a big talk about the seasons as a whole. Our frustration is me and my close group of friends who have all been hockey players is we don't have any right-handed and specialty players. The one guy we have is Dumba, and as you guys alluded to earlier, nobody can shoot. Dumba can't shoot right-handed. And they don't run an umbrella to let them impose their will to just, okay, how many times are you willing to block the shot? You know, I'm not saying I was a professional hockey player, but I killed penalties in high school, and it came down to how many times were you willing to block a shot?
Right.
And we don't do that. It's, hey, pass here, pass here, pass here. Sooner or later, you just got to rip the damn thing. But yeah, we don't have a right-handed shot, which makes our power play one-sided, and it's just really frustrating. Outside of that, this is the only year I've ever been pot committed on the Wild. I was an Avalanche fan because I'm the same age as Mackie, basically. And who was the hockey team that was good other than the Red Wings, which my brother was a Red Wings fan, so I naturally didn't like the Red Wings. But yeah, that's what I got. That's how I feel. That's awesome. What I think. So
thanks, Brandon.
Good stuff.
Yeah, all good stuff. Yeah, I think there's tweaks that could be made. I think Cam Talbot probably gets game six. By the way, Dean Evason said in his post game that if they had about 20 more Kirill Kaprizovs that worked their butt off, probably a different series.
Well, that third period is very disturbing. I'm not going to lie about this. That was not a good period. That was a period that I'm shocked I'm saying this, but it felt like old school, this team, old school Wild playoffs, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're
like the old guard,
when you're allowing them to do the things that and look, the Blues, the one thing that we know they're going to work their asses off, and they did, and they did, and then Tarasenko is an incredibly skilled player. He beat
when he
you,
wants to be. Yeah.
But it felt like exactly when he wants to be. That's well put, but it felt like they opened up the door for problems, and the Blues said, "Okay, cool, thank you,
no problem." So, all right, keep it moving. Got a few more guests here. Nick, what's up, pal? How are you, man?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep, got you.
All right. So I just have one question at the end of this little rant I'm going to go on. So I'm a Minnesota fan from Wausau, Wisconsin. My dad's from Duluth, so I grew up here. I'm a main Vikings fan, but at this point, I'm just like, what are the Vikings or what do Minnesota teams have to do at this point to like make a deep playoff run to get to a championship? I'm almost 25 years old, and I've not seen like 09 Vikings and the 17 Vikings were the highlight of what I've seen. So growing up here, I'm mainly surrounded by Packer fans, and when they ask like why I'm not satisfied with just going to the playoffs with I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy because I don't think he can win a Super Bowl. They don't understand that I've not seen anything. So, like, playoffs isn't good enough for me. Like, I want to see championships. That's why I'm with you guys on that. I guess the question I want to end on is I like Spurgeon as a player, but do you guys think he's a long-term captain? Like, I just feel like he isn't the most vocal guy. He's a really good defenseman, but, I just feel like most captains around the league, I'm not like super into hockey, but, most captains around the league that I hear about, know about, are super vocal and can really get the guys going, and you hear about it and you see it. And I don't know if Spurgeon does that, or I guess I just haven't seen that. So I guess that's just the question I'm mainly wondering about, guys.
Good stuff. Thanks man. I think that I know exactly what you're saying. I think Foligno, who wears an A, plays the role of being like the vocal guy. Dumba does too. And so I think that they just think that there's such respect for Jared that that's why he wears the C. I don't see a problem here, though, because I think the leadership structure as currently constituted is good. Because, I mean, Marcus, is, as we've both seen, Declan, back in the days when we were actually allowed in the room post-game, Marcus is such a dynamic personality type. But I don't think that he is jealous that he doesn't have the C.
No,
so I actually think it works out absolutely fine right now. The thing is, as he progresses here in the next few years, and I'm going to guess his English, at least behind the scenes, is improving. Kaprizov's the type of superstar where you're going to have an A or a C sooner rather than later, just because he's such a dynamic player. But yeah, I get your point. I think Spurgeon being a quiet type actually doesn't, unlike the old Koivu days when the A's were Parisi and Suter, I don't think that's a problem for this team.
I agree. I agree with that. I think he's a fine leader. All right, keep it moving. Wild Bent Line. Zeke, what's up, man?
Nothing, guys. Thank you for taking my video call, I guess. But sorry if this is just kind of regurgitating points. But
no worries. We're all here for you.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing that, you know, I've guessed generally historically been, you know, maybe to, you know, my own detriment, I guess, too positive sometimes. And watching this team this year, I mean, you know, I went to probably 12, 13, 14 games this year and watched every one, obviously. But, you know, even when they would lose, they would score three or four goals. There would be, you know, it wouldn't be they were just playing like crap. It didn't look like a complete disinterest. And, I mean, even early in the series, I mean, they played game one, got your butt kicked on home ice. And, you know, I thought, okay, I think they're going to be fine because, you know, they've done it all year. They've, you know, they've came back, and they did. They came back, played a really good game too, and, you know, and historically in the playoffs, they've been horrible on the road, and, you know, they kick butt in game three, and you think, okay, here we go. You know, that, you know, even if it's still probably going to go seven, but, it's just frustrating because, you know, I wanted to believe in this team so badly this year just with what we've seen. And obviously even tonight, I thought their first 10 so minutes of the game weren't fantastic. And then you have, you know, obviously Kaprizov come in, fried the jolt. He makes that great play to strip the puck from Parayko on the power play and scores. And you think, okay, everyone's going to see that and go, let's be more like him. You're not going to score like him, but, you know, just work your butt off and things are going to go well. And just, you know, there's nothing. I just don't get how when you go into a third period of a playoff game at home that only one guy on the team shows life. It doesn't really make any sense. And obviously, you know, when I wake up tomorrow, I'll probably not be as doom and gloom as I am right now tonight, but it doesn't make sense considering what we've seen all year from this team, how, you know, everybody can just go quiet. And it's, overall, obviously the goal is to win the Stanley Cup, but, you know, for me, honestly, I just wanted to at least see one series win, just at the least, you know, just because it hasn't happened. Three times, and, you know, sure. Colorado's tough. If you would have lost in like six or seven to them, suck around, you know, big, you know, that happens. It's not what we want, but, you know, at least you'd have something to feel good about that you beat a good St. Louis team. And, you know, if you go out with a whimper on Friday after, you know, crapping the bed on home two ice, it's just, you know, it's it's just a huge bummer, I guess, is kind of what I want to say.
Well put, man. Well
Thanks,
put.
Zeke.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See you, Zeke. Yeah, that's very disappointing. Very disappointing. And
I think that's what's frustrating. Zeke's point of like this team's always been able to come back and go through adversity, and that third period showing today, like just crap.
It's not excusable. It's not ugly, excusable. Dude. There is no excuse when you know that these games are basically games predicated on not giving up any time or space, and especially after game four, not making more stupid mistakes. You made more stupid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is how you did. This is if there was a cookbook of how to lose playoff games, the last two games have been winning
the Rachel
recipes.
Ray, baby.
Yeah. They have been winning recipes of the wild cookbook for how to blow games that you can't blow. Man.
Keep it moving. A few guests left on Wild Vent Line. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us, too, by the way.
Yeah, you guys are
awesome. Appreciate it. Almost an hour strong here. It's past midnight. Judd's going to be dragged out of the XL Energy Center by Kulikov here any minute. Keep it moving, though. Let's go to Sean. Sean, what's up, man? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
Yeah. I've been better. Yeah. I feel you. I got a few things to go over, some ranting to do. I've my earliest kind of foray into Minnesota sports was 98 Vikings way back in high school, and just kind of been living the dream of postseason heartbreak since. I dropped watching the Wolves a long time ago, dropped watching the Twins after they couldn't beat the Yankees. Vikings I watch because it's just a few hours a week to, throw my time away. Wild have been, it's every year they make the playoffs and get swept out. But boy, I tell you, this year I allowed myself to believe again. I got amped up. I was in. I got my wife into it. We're glued to the TV, and here we are again. It's the same story. And, I thought this team, they've done such a good job at fighting against adversity. They come back late in games. They lead the league in 6-on-5s. A lot of that is when they pull the goalie at the end. They had that slump. Everybody was counting them out, and they came back, and they were the hottest team in hockey. And it doesn't matter. We're here again, the same exact place that we've always been. I'm so disappointed. I don't even have words for it.
I think you put it perfectly. Absolutely perfectly.
This was going to be different.
But Sean, to your point too, and it's a great one, the reinvestment, right? Like the reinvestment of belief of this is different because this team is different. They feel different. It never felt like, I'm shocked that we're talking about, one, game four, complete missed opportunity because the Blues were down four key defensemen. But tonight, third period, we're talking about basically a poor effort. How is that even possible? It's not, it'd be one thing if they had gone into OT tied at two, right? And Tarasenko scores a goal or something. It's like, okay, that's disappointing. But we're talking about literally a lack of effort in the third period. They played some stupid hockey again. And that to me is what is just so discouraging when you've reinvested and been like, this is different. I'm going to allow myself to believe. And you just get kicked right in the shins. That's how I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. The one of the things I noticed, one of the notes that I put down here was it felt like the crowd was, they were feeling it from the beginning of the game. They weren't as amped up as they were games 1 and 2. They definitely were a little bit nervous. That second goal went in, the kind of a lucky puck goal, right in the five hole there. And you could just feel the crowd get really nervous real fast. And we came out as a team flat, came out as a crowd flat in the third period.
Kaprizov, the Kaprizov goals turned this building loose. It was great. Like this place was going nuts. And you're right. The side goal in the second period to tie it at two, everyone to Dex's point went, uh-oh. And then it was as if that was an extension. But it's up to the team to say, no, it's fine. We got this. And that's the thing. Again, I'll go back to the term. That's the self-fulfilling prophecy of, nobody puts an end to this. Nobody ends it. The team doesn't. The fans don't. No one can end this. And it's like Saad scored. Okay, that's a bad goal. But, it's 2-2. It's not the end of the world. but it felt like that. So yeah, your points are spot on, and they're disappointing, but they're correct.
You could sense it with the crowd, you know, in the crowd when Kaprizov would get the puck, the place would light up, and it was like everyone knew it, he was the only chance we had. If he could score, we'd win. If he couldn't score, it was like we just had no chance. It was just going to be a Minnesota loss, embarrassing to the end. I got a bunch of stuff. Our defense, you know, I know everybody's kind of on Flurry for rebounds and stuff, but the defense has got to clear those guys out. You got to get sticks on sticks. You can't let people sit in front of the net. O'Reilly got another clean rebound. No one's within 3 feet of him. He just, you know, pulls it around Flurry, no problem. And if you watch their defense, we can't get any clean shots. Our shots are all from the outside. They're hitting bodies. It's not like Binnington didn't give up rebounds. He gave up rebounds, but there's no one of our guys are down there to suck him up. You just watch that, and that's the game. Dumba needs to leave. I'm so sick of watching this guy on defense. He's, I guess he has some offensive talent when he can shoot, but he's clearly hurt or something. I know, Judd, you've said that before.
He's not right.
On defense, I'm just tired of watching him be out of position constantly. Fiala, you know, has disappeared. And, you know, I'm sure in about seven years, we're going to watch Kaprizov, two-time Stanley Cup winner somewhere, probably L.A. or something, and retire as a Hall of Fame
Ranger. Great, you know, Ranger.
Yeah.
Like Gabrick. It'd be fantastic. You know.
It's the Minnesota story.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
God, I hope that doesn't happen with Kirill.
Kirill on Broadway.
I can see it.
You got to get a center. I mean, hopefully Marco Rossi is going to be the guy.
Got to hope
hopefully
so.
Hopefully he's the guy.
Don't grow on trees. So you got to figure out who it is. A few more left. Let's go to John.
How's it going,
man? Good. How are you, bud?
All right. I'm going to make this real quick because I know you guys want to go to bed probably. So one comment, one question. I am not a huge Wild fan, but I've watched the Wild pretty much all these playoffs. Gigantic Wolves fan. I'm going to make a little bit of a comparison. I think both teams have gotten very much exposed in the playoffs in one key scenario. The Wolves, depth at the big, rebounding. The Grizzlies were like the best rebounding team in the NBA. Offensive rebounding, the Wolves got killed there. The Wild and the Blues are very deep up the middle. The Wild are not. So I'm sure you guys agree with that, but I just wanted to mention it. And then the question I have is, Judd, I know you went to a lot of the Wolves playoff games and you've obviously been at the Wild games. How would you compare the atmospheres? Like, which one is better? I'm guessing probably the X, but I just want to hear your thoughts. I've been arguing with my buddies.
Interesting. No, I wouldn't say that that's a slam dunk. I think the expectations for the Wild are higher. So the fans here are actually, I think, more tense. At the Wolves games, I think there was, we're in the playoffs and it's going to be fun. I can't tell you how impressed I was by Wolves fans. And look, the basketball fan is probably a very different fan in some ways than the hockey fan. But here's my sense. I think the crowds at the X are more uptight. Like, I think the nerves kick in quicker. As soon as Saad scored, this place got uptight again. It felt like, the Wolves blew leads that were phenomenal, but I felt like those crowds actually, there were a lot of times as those leads were being blown that the crowd stayed sort of in it, in the moment. And then they had to be stripped of, you know, every bit of hope by the fact that the Wolves blew, what, in one game alone, 26 and 25 point leads. But no, I am not going to, I am a hockey guy through and through, but I am not going to say that the crowds in St. Paul beat the crowds in Minneapolis, because I actually thought Wolves fans were great. And I think Wild fans are more of the uptight, there's expectations here and this team is blowing them. That doesn't mean that they're not good fans. It's just, I thought the Wolves fans were fantastic.
Yeah, I get the vibe too that just the Wolves fans showed up and they've been hungry for that for such a long time. We're Wild fans. I mean, my God, they scored that third goal and you could hear a pin drop.
I also think Dex, and this is a total guess, I also feel like the Wolves fans are a little bit more blue collar sports fans, and the Wild fans are like, well, we should be making run. And I mean, not across the board, but I felt like the Wolves fans were like more, you know, into it as far as that went too. But yeah, when Saad scored tonight, I mean, this place went
the morgue,
and the team went and that wasn't good.
It was a morgue. Couple more left here on Wild Bentline. Let's go to Seamus. Seamus,
hey,
how are you, man? Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for staying up. I'm gonna go quick, but I gotta rip three people. Virgin, Mr. Hard Work and Having Fun. He can go work hard and have fun on the Devils next year. Minus three from our captain. Minus three. Look,
yeah, bad night.
He's small. He gets pushed around by these big Blues forwards. He can't control the front of the net. You know, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but put the C on Marcus Foligno for game six. He can go. Second, Billy G. Friend of the show, right?
Friend of the show.
You know, how this podcast, I listen to it all year long. JT Miller, Tomas Hertl, Jack Eichel. For all those fans who said we can't trade Fiala. Oh, we can't trade Dumba. How would one of those guys next to Kaprizov look this playoff series? Fiala's given you what? 0 goals and 14 penalty minutes. Billy G, you failed to get a number one center, and now we're going into cap uncertainty, and you may have missed your window.
No, it's called hell. It's not uncertainty. Yeah. Well, it's called hell. It's the depths of the fire of cap hell that they're about to be in.
Third thing, and this is partly on the grief line, but also Dean Evason. I counted on non-odd man rushes, Greenway and Foligno carried the puck into the offensive zone 8 times. That line is huge. They're giants. Dump the puck in, go check someone in the corner. Because I'll tell you what, Greenway and Foligno stick handling the puck into the offensive zone, not going to cut it. These Blues defensemen, they protect that middle. Go dump the puck in the corner and bleep and hit someone. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thanks, Seamus. Great stuff.
Seamus, that last point is a great point. Get the puck in deep and then go hit them.
Yeah.
That's a great point. There is a level of skill.
Simple.
There's a level of skill here that permeates the game at times. And I'm like, you don't need that much skill. Just, he's right. Go hit people. Hey, it's going to hurt, but good for you. That's a great one, Seamus. Awesome call.
Last one here. And Minnesota sports fans aren't going to like this guy's name, but Packers Nation, are you there?
What's up? I've been here for like an hour. Yeah, man.
What's up, man?
I think what happened is I'm a Packer fan, so I'm a glutton for punishment, and I get my expectations. I'm also a Timberwolf fan, so I know how to not have expectations. So, like, with the Wild, they're the one team that's like the Minnesota, like, hockey, the – you know, we have these expectations, but like we come and we play and we're flat. It's like the team needs to just watch the Mighty Duck trilogy on the way to St. Louis and just clean up the freaking trash and throw everything on net. And just even with Marc-Andre Fleury, he looks like he doesn't want to make a mistake. So he just stays in his crease and it's just disgusting. But at the same time, like this team is better than what they're playing. And people say, like, oh, well, this team is done for. And it's like it's the playoffs. Like, we can go to St. Louis and score 4 goals and win 4-1 and come back to the XL and win 3-2 in overtime. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Like I said, I think this is just like, I don't know. The Timberwolves, you know, the Timberwolves kind of screwed me. And I'm just upset about that because Memphis looks like the worst team in the playoffs. Like, honestly, it's just disgusting, but yeah, what's your guys' thought, I guess?
Thanks.
And I think if Marc-Andre Fleury should play, because I just think Cam's done absolutely nothing versus the Blues, it tells me that he's going to do better otherwise, so stick with the vet who's been there before. I don't know.
Yeah, on his last point there, Judd, I think Talbot gets the nod, but I mean, I understand what he's saying. Like, they've had his number all year, and I don't know if he's making that fit. The goaltending, in my opinion, look, it hasn't been perfect, but I don't have a problem with the goaltending tonight.
Well,
I've had a goaltending problem with this I haven't had a problem with the goaltending this series. I've had a problem with the offense and the opportunistic and this
and the defense
weird
tonight.
Mojo and the defense. Yes,
I mean, I have a problem with the defense tonight. The side goal, Spurgeon standing right there. Brodin's right there. Somebody's got to, you know, take. I mean, you're allowed to tie the guy up in front. He was not tied up properly. The Tarasenko goal to break the tie, the 2-2 tie. I have a problem with that. The fourth goal, the Tarasenko. So his second goal before the empty net goal is not a great goal. But yeah, I mean, this series has not been lost on goaltending by any means. And look, I mean, all of the comments that we got, and they're spot on, is Jordan Binnington looked like he was not sharp. And you had to create rebounds and go to the net, drive the net, and capitalize. And they couldn't. And they didn't. And it's disappointing. But I don't know that there is a reset. I don't know that there is a change that can be made now for Thursday that's going to fix this. I just don't. Like, I mean, the Talbot, if you put Talbot in for Flower, it might provide a jolt of some sort, I guess. But does it also let the team off the hook? Because there's guys who deserve blame. This was just the flashback of what we saw in the final 20 minutes of this game tonight. It really disappoints me. I'm not happy about it. And this is the type of these two games, because you can certainly throw Sunday in as well, are the type of games that stick with you and say, how the hell did you not win one of those two? Okay, I get it. Tough series. But how did you not win Sunday or Tuesday night? So,
yeah, big missed opportunity. I'm just glad I have my chill boys on, strap those on as I go to bed tonight.
Well, don't strap
them on. Try to forget about this now.
Put them on, because, I mean, they are incredibly comfortable. You got the long johns. You got the boxers. It's a local company. And if you enjoy, if you are still with us, Judd's Hockey Show, late at night, early on Wednesday now, we appreciate that. So support those who support us at Score North. That includes our friends at Chill Boys. You'll be happy that you did, chillboys.com. And before we go, if you're still up, you know what, why not? Why not go to your fridge right now? Because I know in your fridge, all of you are like Declan Goff. You have a Surly of some sort. Perhaps it's a Furious. Perhaps it's a Drips and Drops. Perhaps, Declan, you've got what again?
I'm a Surly Supreme. Crushed
Supreme.
One.
Surly Supreme. Yeah, yeah. Enjoyed that. Because, again, if you support those who support us, we can continue to bring you more of our Score North content. And you know what? Quite frankly, without us, who would you cry to? Because we all need each other here.
We do.
This isn't this about is a safe a happy, space. We're not putting happy faces on this garbage.
No.
No, we're commiserating as comrades in arms. Mm-hmm. Man, woman, child. You're all welcome at Score North, because the only place to go is a place where you're going to get the truth.
We've been doing this all series. Some, you know, you might not be able to do it all series. We've been here all series. We've been all years. Now, I will say selfishly, I'm dropping out for, I have a wedding on Saturday if they make a game seven. But, you know, that's a different story. Score North still lives on without Declan. It'll be fine.
Yeah, because we got, what's his face?
AJ. Thank you. We have our Cam Talbot AJ. That's going to hopefully step in here.
Couldn't
and
remember his
save
name for a
season.
Second because it's
God,
late at
could
night.
You really forget his name? Yeah, did you forget AJ? He's our coworker. You've met him. You interact with him.
Dude, it's 12:33.
All right, 52. Fine.
I'm mentally fried. As a caller said before, Judd, how do you do it? And that we started the show with an 18-year-old. His entire life is in front of him right now. He can't drink Surly yet. He certainly can wear the Chill Boys, but he can't even drink a Surly yet. His entire life is in front of him. And yet he knew to ask me, Sports Dad, how do you do it? How have you gone through the hell? And I said, I got a couple World Series, but it's been a long time. That's all I got. All right, wrap things up. I'm done from the X.
Hit the subscribe button to this YouTube channel. Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. The Hockey Whisperer has probably laid his head down on his crystal ball and has some takes for tomorrow that he's going to bring to us to break down this Game 6 loss with the Wild season now in do or die mode for the Wild. So hit the subscribe button, rate, like, subscribe. Apple, Spotify, Score North app is a central hub for everything we do. Full strength tomorrow. Well, debatable. We'll see. Judd's Hockey Show. Pass, shoot, score, and win a damn game.